as we study prayer, now, of course, he has been asking for a number of things in the psalm. We could have the whole quarter on his prayers and what that meant and how he went about trusting God. But I chose some that would maybe help us to sort of get an insight to where this man, because we know his attitude, we know his afflictions, we know the benefits of God's word, but he is in prayer. And so let's look at verse 22, 23, 39, and 78. When others spoke against him, now those are the verses that, you know, they're talking about lying about him and reproach and all these things. When others spoke against him, what does he ask, number one, of God? What did anybody put down? Take away my...
Turn away my reproach.
Reproach, that scorn, taunting, and contempt. Judgment, disrespect, being despised by others so that they may be ashamed. That's the first thought. He asked of God, take away my reproach. Number two thought, and we need to discern, especially verse 39. Dawn, would you read verse 39?
Take away my reproach, which I dread, for your ordinances are good.
Okay. In the context, let's look at it. Because there could be another thought. And we sort of touched on this one other time. Verse 39 may be speaking of his own shame brought upon himself before God, denying the good for the vain, the false way that he talked about, when he considered his ways, verse 29, 37 through 40. Let's look at that a minute. We won't take a long time on that. But in Psalm 119, would Sally, you read verses 29 and then 37 through 40.
Remove the false way away from me, and graciously grant me your law. 37. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your ways. Establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your ordinances are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me through your righteousness.
Okay, just a thought. And, of course, in the very last verse of the psalm, he talks about that he had, you know, gone astray, whatever. It doesn't mean that he turned completely away from God, but he failed, you know, to seek the good for the false way, maybe. Or the vain things of this world. And so, you know, maybe here in this verse, with the context around it and some of the other verses, it has to do with his reproach. So, is it okay to ask God for both? Remove the reproach, you know, from others. Okay, that I may not be ashamed, or that they may be ashamed, and then remove the reproach. Any thoughts on this? Anything in your study that led you to one thought or the other? Okay. Just put it out there, and as you read, you know, you think about these things. Number eight. Very forthright. Very clear. What three words repeated over and over and over again to indicate the power of the word?
Revive.
What's that mean?
Lift up.
Give me life again?
Yes.
Yeah, right? Okay. What else?
Strengthen.
Strengthen.
Revive me.
Revive. Okay. Strengthen. Comfort. Strengthen. Hold me up. You ever need holding up? You ever feel like you just can't stand up by yourself when it comes to things in this life? Strengthen me. But God's Word can hold us up. Can underpin us. Give us a steady rock. Comfort. God's Word comforts. And this is what he was looking at. Over and over and over again, he mentions, if you ever do the market, and when we went through the benefits, comfort, 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 revive, revive, revive. Okay. What in these passages does the writer attribute to God? In those passages that we read, what sticks out to you in those passages that he attributes to God for this comfort, this revival, his work through his word?
His word.
His loving kindness. His loving kindness. Lisa, read verse 77. Let's see what else he talks about.
Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for your law is my delight.
Again, please.
Is that 77?
77.
Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for your law is my delight.
Okay, tender mercies. Mine has compassion, but that's the same thing. Tender mercy. Verse 40 talks about his righteousness. And verse 156, going back to how Lisa read hers, in 156, it says, great are your mercies. Revive me. See, he connects the reviving with the mercy of God through his word. Revive me according to your ordinances. He puts all three of them together. And that is great comfort to us. We see a God who has great mercy. He's given us his word. And he revives us when we need reviving by his word because of his mercy. Any thoughts on that? Verse 49. Lauren, did you read that?
Remember the word to your servant upon which you have called me.
Okay. What is he asking God to do? Here again, I'm going to suggest two thoughts.
To remember his covenant.
To remember his covenant. Does God ever forget anything?
No.
But let's start there with remember his covenant. In light of your righteous word that gives me hope, remember me and help me. Okay. Let's go to Psalm. Let's see. Let's do this. Psalm 105:8 and 41 through 42. We won't read that. But I'll tell you what it says. Trust me. Remember, he remembered his promise to Abraham and blessed Israel in the wilderness. He remembered his promise to Abraham. Psalm 106, 40 through 45. The anger of the Lord was against Israel because of their idolatry. But when distressed, he heard their cry. What book in the Bible do we read about all this? The book of
Genesis.
Judges. And remembered his covenant for their sake and relented his anger and delivered them. That's just to name a few of the instances in the Bible, in the Old Testament, where God remembered his covenant and acted and relented. Any thoughts along that or anything to add that might give light to that? Okay. B. Okay. If it is remember, as we read that again, 49, if I get it up here. Okay. Remember the word to your servant. Okay. If it is for him to do, not God, him. Lord, help me remember that word that gives me hope and comfort. In other words, help me even in times of distress to seek and meditate upon your word for revival, for comfort, for direction and hope. So as to keep. The whole psalm is that. Any thoughts? Both fit truth about God and about what we need to do. So you discern. And you make the, you know, as you read. Verse 74. Any other thoughts? Verse 74. May those who fear you see me and be glad because I wait for your word, or I hope in your word. Verse 79. May those who fear or reverence you turn to me. Even those who know your testimonies. Somebody tell me what he's asking. What's he praying to God?
That he would be an example.
I can't hear.
That he would be an example.
That he would be an example. Okay. That others who fear God would turn to me. Okay, so, to be an example. What else? Turn to me. What's that? What do you think?
Repent.
What about when somebody sees you doing the right thing? Have you ever had anybody ask you, why do you do that? Have you ever had anybody say, what makes you this way?
Well, that's where him being an example.
Example is, but then what is the opportunity for you to do?
Teach them.
Teach them. Okay? May those who fear you turn to me, even those who know your testimonies. Let's consider for a little bit. Because I ask you, what is my responsibility in this? Are we supposed to be doing this today? Can we pray that prayer? Can I be an example? Can I be used as your servant to maybe teach someone your testimonies, even those who might know? What are we doing here this morning? We're helping one another grow. We have opportunities to encourage, to talk to one another about things, especially when they're struggling. Remind them. That's what the Word of God does. It just doesn't lead to righteousness, but it reproves, it rebukes. It does these things. So, what is my responsibility? What do you think the first thing is our responsibility is? If we're going to be an example, and if we're going to be able to give an answer as what he prayed for in this psalm, what do we have to do first? And what does that lead us to do? She said, love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and strength. What does that lead us to do? Got to know God's Word.
Obey.
We got to do our best to study, trust, and as Sally said, obey God's Word the best I can. What about living for lights? Dawn mentions example. Then, as you do that, live as lights. Not only do you study it and know it, you go out and live it. That's what got him in trouble. He wasn't going along with all those vain things and everything else that was involved that the Holy Spirit doesn't mention in this psalm that the others were involved in. They just didn't revere God. So, be ready to teach whatever truth I know, even if it's just a little bit. Jesus loves you and He died on the cross for you. Any child in any of those classes back there can tell you that. So, encourage one another. Help one another grow. Help build one another up. Help strengthen one another. And then, after we heard the news about Neil, what about praising and rejoicing in the Lord? He deserves it. Do we just appear as complainers before others, or do we appear as someone rejoicing and counting our blessings and joyous in the Lord because of the good things, the loving kindness and the mercy? And serving one another. Any other thoughts on, should I have, what's my responsibility in this? If the answer is yes. So then number 11 gets down to the heart. What kind of heart in verse 76, and I know, oh, may your loving kindness comfort me according to your word, to your servant. He mentions the word servant. 77, may your compassion come that I might live, for your law is my delight. And then verse 32, turn to me and be gracious for your manner with those who love your name. What kind of heart do you see in this, in these prayers and in all the prayers that he's turning to God, with whom he has hope, his, through his word? What kind of heart do you see?
Humble.
Anybody know a verse in the New Testament that Jesus taught about being humble or being arrogant, being self-righteous? Look, Lord, look what I do. Well, he washes the disciples' feet. That was being humble. Jesus was being humble. You ever hear of the publican and the Pharisee? The publican, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. What else? Bobby? Can you read? Bobby? Can you read this morning? Psalm 34, 18.
The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit.
Crushed in spirit. Okay. Brokenhearted and crushed in spirit. One of David's famous psalms, Psalm 51, we all know it. It's the repentive psalm. In verse 17, he says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. a broken and contrite heart, thou will not despise, O God. What does the Holy Spirit tell us in Acts 2, the condition of the heart of the Jews who obeyed the gospel that day? What was the condition of their heart? They were pricked in their heart. What must we do? They're down for the count and they know it. They're guilty and they know it. What must we do? They were pricked in their heart. It causes repentance. And Jesus said to me, show me the fruits of repentance. Any thoughts on that? I like verse 133 while we're right around there. Establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. Even though he tells God that he meditates on God's word, he's not bragging in his own self-righteousness. He's commending the word of God. He's bringing before the throne of God, yes, I love you. I meditate on your word. I serve you, even though I'm afflicted. You think that's bragging before God? Look how good I am. So do something, God. I don't think so. I think sometimes we need to have self-love. We've talked about self-love before, self-esteem, trying to make sense of things without being arrogant and self-righteous. Any thoughts on that? I can be wrong. I'm just another you. You know? Okay. If not, number 12, verse 108. Susan Hendricks, would you read verses 108a?
Oh, accept the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord.
Okay. And then Elizabeth, 170 through 172.
Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. Let my lips utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. Let my tongue sing of your word, for all your commandments are righteous.
Okay. Here he asked God to consider his love for his word and revive and help him. No, I'm on the next one. Excuse me. What is he asking God to do in these verses?
Teach him and deliver him.
Well, accept his willing praise, really?
Right.
Accept my prayer. Does it, you really think you didn't think God was listening? But he's humble. He's asking to accept my praise and supplication. God, hear me. Now, what's our job? If we want God to hear us, praise, supplication, what's our job? Our job is being fervent, both in with uprightness of heart. That's verse 7 in the psalm. Trusting his grace. Do we praise him enough? Do we just thank him for certain things and not just pour out our heart before him? Do we just ask him for certain things as rote? Or is it uprightness of heart? And of course, that means that we have to be trying our best to follow him. Pat, would you read Hebrews 13, 14, and 15? The Holy Spirit doesn't make it any clearer than this.
Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14 and 15?
Yes.
For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips, and give thanks to his name.
So why should we praise and offer sacrifice of praise to him? What's the biggest thing that ever happened for us?
Jesus' death and resurrection.
And what's our hope? Why should we go through all of that?
Spend eternity with God in peace.
Exactly. And we're looking for a place that's better than this. We're like that because Jesus bled and died and rose again, and because we have his covenant with us today, we look for heaven. The Holy Spirit sort of says we should praise God about that. Any thoughts? Any other passages that you think of? Because we've had great lessons taught by others here. Rejoice in the Lord, always rejoice, Philippians, you know. And other things about rejoicing in the Lord and praising God, giving thanks. Verse 159. Here he asked God to consider his love for his word, back to this, his presence before God, and what he's talking to God about, and revive and help him. In the context, let's go to 153. Joanne, would you read verses 153 through 159 and 173 through 175, starting with 153.
Look upon my affliction and rescue me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my case and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not see your statutes. Great are your mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your ordinances. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, yet I do not turn aside from your testimonies. I behold the treacherous and loathe them, because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. And 173
through 175.
Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live that it may praise you, and let your ordinances help me.
Okay. What is involved in this consideration? Help me. Revive me. Help me. What did you put down?
It has to be done according to his word. That's what this whole psalm, over and over and over, is emphasizing, God's word, and that we must obey it.
Absolutely. Number one, that's what I put down. His love and trust and obedience to God's word. That's number one. Did anyone come up with something else? To consider his trust in God's righteous judgment and justice. places in the psalm, he asks for God's judgment. In verse 154, plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Plead my cause. In the context, judge between me. That's what plead means. Here. Judge between me and my enemies. Execute justice. That's in Micah 7:9, as God talks to Micah about Israel. But one of the most famous passages that this phrase and this consideration is mentioned is in 1 Samuel 24. Verse 12. This is where Saul is after David. He's caught it. And David talks to God and Saul. In verses 12 and 15, it says, in 1 Samuel 24, may the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. The Lord, therefore, be judge and decide between you and me, and may he see and plead my cause and deliver me from your hand. Any thoughts on that? Is God going to deliver? Is God going to show justice? If not in this life, but in the next? He is. We see saints under the throne. When are you going to avenge? In Revelation. Number 2. Help me, save me. Verse 146 and 155 and 166 is what he asks. And back to that, revive me according to your ordinances. So, whether it's by God's providence, but most definitely through his word, revival because of his loving kindness and mercy. Any thoughts on that? Number 14. In Psalm 119:50, the writer said God's word was his comfort and preserver of life, a reviver, from his affliction. In Psalm 34:15-18, it says about God, his eyes are toward the righteous. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Again, David, in Psalm 27:13-14, what kept him from despair? That he would see. Did you all have these, or did I just have them on my sheet?
The goodness of the Lord.
The goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Not just the goodness of the Lord. He believed. He believed that there was going to be a descendant on his throne, but he didn't see it. He believed in the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, but man, was David's life all sugar and sweet? And
no.
But did he stay faithful? Did he still believe in the goodness of the Lord?
Yes.
In the promises of the Lord?
Yes.
Yes. Things may not go like we like. But let's not give up on praising God for the good. If nothing else, Thank you, Lord, for me knowing the gospel so that if I die today, I have hope. Lauren answered this, one of the lessons. What does perseverance in the face of trial bring about the believer in Romans 5? Proven character and hope. You ever think about that in that way? Lord, why am I going through this? I've just had about enough, Lord. That person hasn't learned anything. If we are comforted by the Word of God, if it gives us endurance, we come out on the other side better. And that's not Linda Ottersbach saying that. That's the Lord God of Heaven saying that. That's the Holy Spirit saying that. Hope. If I don't see it in the land of the living, which we do have good of the Lord in the land of the living, look at our blessings. But there's hope. And then I added one, and let's just look at 176 and we'll finish the thing on prayer. Sandra, would you read verse 176? There's a prayer. This is his final prayer in the song.
I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Be your servant, for I do not forget your commandment.
Seek your servant. Anybody have any thoughts about what that means? Seek to find. He's asking God. I do not believe he's asking God to help him seek. Could be wrong. I think he's asking God, seek to find, seek to secure, seek to save. John 17:17 through 20, Jesus is praying. He says, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. He's talking about the apostles, but he's also talking about people who are going to believe through their word. Both of them. Set them apart. How is God going to seek us? Through his word. Luke 19:10. The Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. Matthew 18:14 says, it's not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one sheep should perish. That's talking about the lost sheep. And about the shepherd who goes and looks for him. Matthew 7:21. He who does the will of my Father will enter into heaven. So let's get back to the, and then John 8:47-51. Susan, you want to read that as we finish? John 8:47-51.
He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. And the Jews answered and said to him, do you not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? And Jesus said, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death.
What's the thought here? He who what?
He who seeks the word of God, he shall never see death.
keeps my word. In this Psalm 119, we've done all the marking and the studying about all the things that the word does. Just a few. It teaches. It revives. It comforts. It establishes. It saves. Lord, seek to find me. I don't know about you, but I know some people who are just wandering around aimlessly in their life. But they had a heart to know truth, to find what the truth was. God's business is His providence. I know of people who went and just sat on a park bench and someone came and taught them the truth. I know somebody who just walked into a church building because they had no place else to go, but they just thought maybe they could find the answer. And there was the answer. But it was because they were taught the gospel. If you seek me, you'll find me. That's our business. Any thoughts? Any disagreement? It's okay. Because some of these prayers are asking for what he must, what he's doing. He was seeking. He wanted all his ways to be established. And he was seeking with all his heart. Any other thoughts before we close? Lord willing, we're going to try to do the vows and the wrath of God. We're going to overview because, Lord willing, next week will be our last week together. We're just going to do an overview. That's why it's important to do your lesson. Miss Susan won't be here. She's going to have a little eye issue, an appointment because of her surgery. But as school year is coming to a close, as the May is coming, the meeting is coming on, those kind of things, we'll finish up. But you all know these things. We've covered vows before when we were talking about songs that we sing and that kind of thing in another lesson. But anyway, any thoughts?
After we pray, I'd like to ask a question.
After the prayer. Okay, well, you want to lead us in our prayer?
Okay. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you, Father, for your providence and your care. That you look after us, you help us. We know, Father, that if we will stay committed to doing your will through your word that you have given us, we have a hope of a much better place than this life is over. We all long for that, Father, and that is our desire and what we work toward. Please be with us as we continue in that walk. Help us to continually seek what is right from you. Father,